This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Now stop beating your gums and sound the attack.
All right. Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the We Got the Chocolates podcast. In fact, this is the 20th episode, I believe, and you may have noticed a subtle variation in the intro again. This is, in fact, skin on the mic, not lethal, although he's not on a ski trip down in Melbourne this week. He's sitting right beside me on my right. Lethal, how are you?
Very well, thanks, Skin. What is the reason that we've got you to do the intro there, Skin?
Well, you just decided last week that I didn't have enough input. My word count was too low, so I thought I'd get in early. Let's start us off.
That's exactly
how we're going.
Yeah. Very strong, Skin. It's already probably doubled your tally from last week. Your last Correct. Thing to do is to introduce the other person that we have at the table who you've forgotten about.
As he's on my left. That's how I am.
Good to be here, Skin. Looking forward to a lot more words from you tonight as well.
Yeah, I'll see what I can provide, man.
Yeah, that's quality, Skin. Well, I'm happy to bail you out of trouble there, Skinald, I guess. Big episode again, as per usual. We've lined up plenty to talk about again. We've got just a few sort of random stories to tell from the week and then to bring to your attention. We've obviously had plenty of input on Instagram again and Facebook from a couple of people that have got some things that they want to talk about. We've got some huge talking points, obviously, around sort of rugby league and cricket again. We've got a couple of sections coming up that are usually quite popular in terms of sort of Haz's Minute to Thin It, a bit of a social sin bin, some overused sporting buzz phrases in there as well, Haz, so it's all happening.
Plenty to fit in tonight, that's for sure.
All right, well, let's get stuck into it then. The first thing, I guess, that I wanted to speak to you about, Skin, is the reason that we're sort of doing this quite late on a Monday evening is because we had a touch football semi-final tonight, and you actually had an interesting experience of knocking someone out.
Yes, the old non-contact sport.
In a touch football game.
Went well for me.
Yeah, that's right. I've messaged Holly to make sure that she's all right, and you'll be pleased to know that she is actually back fully conscious.
Okay, perfect.
Which is good news. Her boyfriend actually also messaged the show and just said, as if your brother knocked out my sister. definitely not sister. Girlfriend.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
Yeah, but you certainly did. How'd you manage to do that, Skittle?
Yeah, well, obviously not deliberately. I like to think I'm not a terrible human. But no, just trying to score a try. I think I ran a quickie or something and had a dive at the line, and she managed to make an impressive touch, which I thought was all pretty standard practice. And as I got up to roll the ball, realised that she'd touched me with her head on my boot somehow. So that was...
Still counts.
Yeah, still counts. No try, but definitely stopped the game for a little while, and she was... Yeah, struggling, which I obviously felt terrible about, but I'm glad it's all
in. Yeah, felt real terrible. Then it scored a try the very next play, I believe.
Not the next play, but yeah, shortly after the game got back underway, she was off the field, and the scores were tied, 1 minute to go, sort of thing, and had to make the most. Get a little buzzer beater in.
Yeah, just stepped up to the plate there, didn't you, Skin? You've actually sent us through to the big... Well, it's not the big dance yet, actually, is it?
Nah,
I don't know how the final system works. That was like a semi. Then we've got an elimination next week as well.
Yeah, something like that.
So okay.
Any concussion substitutes in touch footy? Do they have a concussion sub like cricket?
Well, certainly not the win. Well, I guess they kind of did. I mean, they stopped the game.
Yeah, stopped the game. Got a new player on the field. It was just like one of the eight players that were already on the sideline. It was
seven potential. Yeah,
wasn't like ringing in Marnus Labuschagne.
No, unfortunately not.
I sort of know the feeling. I actually did something worse. I concussed one of our own players in a cricket game while warming up before the game started. Morning of day one. Actually, the guy we spoke to last week, Matt Renshaw. I think it was in Wollongong. We were playing Ted Ball, which is a definitely non-contact warm-up game, as using tennis balls. And yeah, I think he copped a knee to the head as we were both on the same team diving for the ball. So,
Right. Well, glad to know I'm not alone. Thanks, Haz.
Yeah, no. So you've done well there, Skinnell. Was the other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention, I'm sure you've probably seen this. I had not. I obviously spent a little bit of time in Darwin, played a couple of cricket seasons up there. Well done to Southern Districts, great cricket club up there, and actually won the flag this year. Obviously, since I've departed, they've gone a lot better.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but the tourism slogan for the Northern Territory, slightly confronting and in your face when you see it on a billboard in Queensland, just quietly. I was driving past today, obviously that billboard, and for all money just thought that I just read the word Carmichael Hunt. I was like, what is that advertising? That's very unusual. But in fact, it was just the in the is quite small in comparison to the rest of the letters, and it's actually saying "see you in the NT."
Yeah, just sneaks in there. Oh,
so you have seen that?
I have. Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't. I think it's been around a while, hasn't it?
It was all over the place at one stage. I'm not sure, they might have removed some of the billboards and TV ads, but there's still a lot of stickers out there on the back of people's cars and that love it.
Yeah, because I sort of realised that. Well, I went and researched it, and it was like, "How has this got over the line? Like, surely that's against some advertising rules and regulations." But indeed, it did say that it caused quite a social media stir back in 2016, but it still managed to get the all clear, and I'm unsure of how the success is going, if they've managed to get more people.
I'm sure there was plenty of free advertising there for them as well, once people saw how clever it was. Yeah. Must have found a loophole. Everyone loves a good loophole.
Yeah, well, this is true, Haz. This is true. Now, a couple of things, guys, that we do need to get through. These came in from Instagram. We had a request from Matt Gillam. He always has some great requests, actually. And he wanted a little segment identifying just where the nickname, sort of some of the nicknames have come from. Because obviously probably, I think really, really early on, you know, like episode 2, we sort of went through a couple of nicknames and ones that you might see. But we've sort of found ourselves probably slipping into the habit of calling each other nicknames on the show without actually explaining or justifying where they've actually come from. Yes. So like, for example, the big term of endearment, I guess, is Geebs. Like, that seems to be thrown around quite often, which actually is not an insult anymore. I think originally it did actually start out as an insult. It was like a Geeben, which I think, like, I've heard a few different stories. Like, someone told me the other day that that's actually like a female fallopian tube. I've also been, like, other people told me it was a monkey, but I'm pretty sure that's a gibbon. So gibbon started as, like, obviously a term that, but it's been shortened to Geebs, which is now more of like a term of endearment. Like, anyone can be Geebs. Like, I guess I call Marnus Geebs, he calls me Geebs, so it can be quite confusing. I'd call Bayes Geebs, but he'd also return the favour. So, you know, like, it can be very difficult to work out who's being spoken about. Since then, we also, like, typed it, obviously, into our phones quite a few times in any group chat or whatever. And if you try to type in Geebs, like G-E-E-B-S, into your iPhone, it then comes up, auto-corrects it to Herbs. And so rather than sort of, rather than obviously a couple of times when you're trying to text people quickly, I've just called them Herbs accidentally. And so rather than, like, sticking with Geebs, we've now embraced Herbs as a bit of a nickname as well. It really doesn't take much inspiration to get those type of ones. We've obviously talked through the fact that Skinnell, your nickname is Skin.
It is.
The fact that you had skinhead when you were about three.
Yeah. Oh, grade three.
Grade three.
Okay. 8 years old. And I had I actually had a mean mullet before that, which I embraced for probably a couple of years, I think, until my school blew up at me and weren't real keen on the idea of an 8 year old rolling around with a big dirty mullet. So told me to get a haircut. And I came back the next week with a shaved head. So I don't think they really liked that either, but well, can't win them all.
And Skin's just stuck ever since then for whatever reason. So anytime we actually uploaded a photo of you today, that was the daily Skinspiration, which was quite clever, actually.
Oh, yeah, I'll pump up your own title.
I didn't say that I posted it.
I know you posted it.
Yeah, but so that's obviously stuck for years, even though you have sort of a beard now, as was evident in that photo.
Yeah. And there's been times I've gone back to the mullet or even a man bun, and it's still hung around somewhere.
Back to the well, and still everyone knows you as Skin. Yeah. And then has one for you is that you actually called... Martis calls you Dave, which is quite interesting. And I think that's actually caught on a little bit around sort of Queensland cricket and stuff, hasn't it? What's the story behind that one?
Yeah, lots of people actually call me Dave now, and I'll actually usually turn around and respond to it, funnily enough. But Martis started calling me David Hasselhoff. I guess I never really had much of a nickname growing up, but...
Surely has.
Yes. Well, not growing up so much. Since the last few years being around the Bulls team and that, it has really caught on. It was always my dad that was called Has growing up. Everyone called my dad Has, and so I wasn't me. Yeah. And but yeah,
lately, I guess Sam's not really an overly long name that you sort of need to shorten.
Yeah, correct. But yeah, has caught on, and Marnus decided to lengthen it to David Hasselhoff, but it's definitely been shortened back again.
Okay, perfect. And then the next point, guys, that I did want to raise with you, and Skin, I thought this might be a really good one for you, obviously, as probably the most intelligent person on this. Oh, that might be controversial, actually.
Yeah, no, Has is up there. Yeah. I reckon he's got me covered.
So I've got the bronze medal. We zero arguments about that. Interesting email here from Adam Pearson just saying, I'm also wondering if there's a set criteria to be awarded the title friend of the show. Number of mentions, shares, correspondence. What are we looking for? Because he thinks that we've probably been throwing that term out a little bit willy-nilly, which I actually don't think is true. I think that it any time that you've obviously been on the podcast, so like Brad Russell, for example, friend of the show, Marnus, friend of the show, been on the podcast. But I also think that there probably is some criteria to become a friend of the show there due to, but we look quite favourably upon shares, don't we, Has? Writing in, but like contributing sort of stuff that we can talk about, that would all get your friend status, I would have thought.
Yeah, they would all have to be contributing. I can't say I've sort of sat back and come up with a formula yet, given this is maybe the second time I'm even hearing of this conversation. But yeah, I would say shares would have to be the biggest weight in that, wouldn't they?
And we don't mean buying shares in our company.
No. A little share on social media would go a long way.
Might have to prove your worth with a top fan badge or something. Don't Facebook about those top fan badges.
They actually do. Yeah, that's not a bad share.
So give us a yell if you got one of those top fan badges. Absolutely. We'd love to see that.
Show off one of those and then we're away. Then you're definitely FOT status. FOTS. Friend of the show. Get some memorabilia made up, Skin. Get some FOT shirt.
I'm not sure that's one of your finest. Okay.
Yeah, we'll come back to that in the next staff meeting. Very good. All right, Skinner, time to jump into our first segment of the night.
All right.
Spoilers face. We've heard a few that we will throw at you. Sportsman's phrase. We got a long list that we'll add to all we used untrue.
Yeah, guys, I think we had a week off the overused sporting phrases last week from memory, so good to get them back again. Always a nice talking point. And, I've heard of a few the last couple of weeks. The first one, talk about a lot of teams who started the game well and they said they hit the ground running.
We do hear that often.
Obvious meaning to it, and fair enough, but, gee, it's used a lot, so I think it still comes in that category.
Definitely overused.
Second one is a lot of people say, oh, the stats don't lie when talking about a team or a player. But then that's also contradicted a few times when people say, oh, the numbers don't tell the whole picture, or the numbers can be deceiving.
Yeah. You can hear both of those. I feel like selectors at some certain junctions will just use both of those depending on what they're trying to justify to. Just like, oh, no, stats don't lie, so we had to pick him. But also the stats do lie, so we're not going to pick him. Like, can be used at the same time. Okay, good one again, Has.
My third one is, that's what pressure does. And commentators will say that a lot when a player makes a mistake, I guess. But I'm not sure you can prove that it was the pressure's fault. I mean, I've seen a lot of people make mistakes in the nets, and I'm not sure it was pressure that caused them to make that mistake. So,
At the Brisbane Heat games last year, they started showing a pressure meter on the scoreboard. Did you notice that? How did that change how you're feeling out in the middle at all?
No, certainly not. I think the pressure was there anyway, but okay. It's usually used in a negative context, but I've seen a lot of people do well under pressure. So
Yeah. I wasn't sure about the pressure meter. Like, who's doing that graphic? Who works that out?
Yeah, what formula is that?
Well, Skin, you should actually know. Yeah,
I'm not sure about the pressure meter, but I know the sound meter is definitely rigged. There's definitely not something calculating the amount of sound that's being made. It's just a fake graphic on the screen.
Brisbane.
Insider knowledge.
We've actually got a little change of topic here, Skinnald. Now, this is probably as serious, I guess, as you ever hear us talk, but last week we obviously had, you remember that on our social media streams, we had Andrew Goaty and Bayes, actually, who's sitting at the table. Never heard him so quiet, but he is here. He also was very quiet in that video. He just sort of sat in the back, and Goads obviously did his tips for the Melbourne Cup and gave us a little bit there, which actually impressed quite a few people. So I guess we actually got like quite a few questions sort of in the lead up to that, saying, boys, who are you tipping for the Melbourne Cup? Like, obviously it's a race that stops the nation. We need to know who you're tipping. And obviously that's why we enlisted the help of Andrew, because the three of us probably, for different and varying reasons, probably actually don't get around horse racing very much. I've had some rogue experiences at horse races, so it's not really the type of thing that I find myself doing, sitting there and punting. But well, I guess we wanted to give you a little bit of an idea as to where we stand on it. If you've been listening for a while, then you would have heard that sort of Goaty mentioned the fact that there were people out there that wouldn't like horse racing, and mentioned Skin, his name in particular. And that probably obviously has been sort of, I guess, particularly this year, it's probably a race that's split and divided opinion a lot more due to the 7:30 report that came out that was called the dark side of racing, and it was the reason that sort of protesters were out the front in the Melbourne Cup and stuff like that. But Mitch, I guess you're probably quite a thoughtful and measured character. Most people would have worked out. So I'll probably let you explain your position, which is a little bit more broad than just sort of the racing industry. But I guess as an intro, it's pretty fair to say that you're not the biggest of meat eaters on the planet, which probably slightly influences your stance.
Yeah, I guess that's fair to say. The old meat consumption stats are at an all-time low. Probably have been for a couple of years. I've actually been vegan for the last 2 years, which I don't know if we would have mentioned on the potty yet. I don't know if that's come up.
I don't think we have, actually.
Yeah, no, but there you go. That's a big bombshell. I sort of personally probably changed my diet more for sort of environmental reasons after learning about sort of the impacts of factory farming and things like that. And obviously, I guess the animal cruelty side becomes quite tough to ignore pretty quickly. But I certainly don't claim to be an expert on the horse racing industry. So I definitely don't want to sound like I'm just giving Goaty a lecture.
No, I don't think the purpose is for us to give anyone a lecture, by the way, because I know that is definitely where people do get quite unhappy. But more probably to just make our position, I guess, more known so that people aren't shocked when we don't spend hours talking about horse racing.
Yeah, no, very fair. And that's sort of where my position comes from. And I guess having heard plenty of stories from people like yourself, Lethal, who've obviously had a pretty rough experience at the races and seen something you probably don't want to witness too often. And obviously watching plenty of documentaries similar to the ABC one. I actually saw another one a couple of years ago that I think I made you sit through with me, with that Dominion one, which was not ideal.
Oh, that was horrid viewing. I was vegan for 2 days after that.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, makes sense. So I sort of decided that it's just not something that I'm terribly interested in, and probably not something I really want to support with my hard-earned dollary dues by going out to the races or placing a bet on the trifecta at the Melbourne Cup or anything like that. Which is sort of my position, I guess, if that's all right with everyone.
No, that makes sense. Absolutely. Absolutely.
When I said I certainly didn't want to lecture anyone, it definitely opens up a pretty big can of worms, doesn't it? Like, you've already sprayed me about having a pet dog has, and the fact that she probably eats horse meat and her dog food every day, which I would have no idea about. So, you're definitely right.
Well, that was probably like the fact that you have no idea about it is actually the reason that so many people were probably up in arms about this particular documentary, is because it essentially highlights, like a side of racing that people would rather just, I guess, pretend doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, it probably brought a lot of things to light that people were happy to think in, well, horses just retire after they finish racing and they have a nice life in plenty of green pastures and stuff. And obviously there is a side out there that definitely that would debunk that theory. I know that, like, I've sat with you plenty of times before when you've had to say, yeah, I'm vegan, and people always come at you with sort of, you know, well, there's so many things wrong with the world, you know, like all our clothes are made in sweatshops, and, you know, how are you going to stop meat eating altogether? Like, it's never going to happen. It's just too big of a part of life. So I guess that's probably like the things that I would present to you, and how would you debate those topics, Skin? Because I know plenty of people would sort of say, like, you know, well, that's only a small sample. Like that documentary, it's skewed towards one side of the fence. Like it only wants to make you think in a certain way. Would you have a rebuttal for that?
I mean, I guess I sort of have a rebuttal, but at the same time, I can definitely see where they're coming from. I mean, you probably there is a lot wrong with the world, I suppose, and you're probably not going to fix it overnight by one person sort of making a change to their diet or anything. And yeah, I get what you're saying, like that there probably are plenty of people in the horse racing industry in particular who do the right thing and take good care of their animals. And yeah, it's a massive industry that's not going to disappear. But I guess I personally would just like to see industries like that sort of regulated a bit more so that the people doing the right thing are in the overwhelming majority. And I think when you look at the research mentioned in documentaries like these, it's probably safe to say that they're currently not. But it's so easy for these things to sort of be hidden behind a closed door. And I would just encourage people that, like, if you're sort of made uncomfortable by these documentaries, to go out and have a read about it yourself and sort of decide if it's something that you want to support with your wallet. I mean, I guess just remember that these industries only exist to turn a profit. So, sure, they're not going to disappear overnight. But if enough people are sort of telling them that with their wallets that they're not going to pay for the way that they're currently operating, then I guess they'll sort of eventually be forced to at least improve, I would hope.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, people, like, it's literally, like, it is a huge part of Australian culture. Like, it genuinely has been called the race that stops the nation. Like, it's called the sport for kings, sport of kings. Like, it seems to me like that there has to be a way that it can be done better. You know what I mean? Like, I think that most people that saw that footage and lots of people that are big figures within the racing industry did come out in the aftermath of that and say, look, we've let the horses down. With, you know, and they were quite sickened by that vision as well. What made me actually really sick was just the people that work at these, like, at these places. Like, that was in Caboolture, so it's not far from us. Like, it's literally up the road. And the footage of them I found probably the most shocking. That was horrible to watch. But,
and I would just say, I'm not sure exactly how you're meaning that, but I would also say that plenty of people that work in areas like that come out with, like, post-traumatic stress disorder and stuff. Like, they're sort of doing it because they need to pay their bills, I suppose. Like, it's not like it's a great hobby of theirs, I wouldn't imagine.
No. Well, actually, we remember when we worked at the labour company and they tried to send us to Ingham's. They tried to send us to Ingham's. Like, when we were working as labourers, that was a belter phone call.
Like, hey, you want a couple of hours work, you're just going to be catching chickens. Yeah, I can catch some chickens.
Yeah. We didn't realise we were sentencing them to death.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
that was rogue.
Maybe
that
not.
Was rugged. So, yeah, no, that was definitely not. That was one shift for me in that joint. That was too much. I was out of there for sure. So that's fair, Skin. I think that most people would, you know, they would see that and just want to know that, like, obviously that there has to be a better system where there isn't such a huge need to exterminate so many thoroughbreds, because I think the problem is that there's so much overbreeding in the hope of finding, like, the next Winx, the next Mackay Diva, that one of these gun horses that everyone obviously wants so that they make millions. And so there's some issues there. Like, I don't think anyone would debate that, I guess. There's obviously some issues there. And people sort of voted with their feet for this Melbourne Cup, in that obviously it was down. It was the lowest attendance since 1995. In fact, there was a lot of people saying up to the Cup. And Channel 10, actually, they paid like $100 million for the TV, the broadcasting rights, last year. So they probably stand to be the biggest losers there, that's for sure. You know, it's as you said, it's obviously not something that we're going to solve, and particularly not on this podcast where we don't take things very seriously anyway. But we did think that it was worth obviously mentioning, because we were getting quite a few emails about it, and we didn't want to just sort of pretend that we don't have a stance, I guess.
I guess now that we've mentioned that, it'll be good to hear people's responses. I'd be interested to see if anyone's got a problem with anything that we've spoken about.
Sure, multiple people will have problems with
hopefully
it.
Hopefully we don't become a massive debating podcast and we stick to comedic values, but we'll see what happens. It'll be good to hear back from people.
Yeah, no, we'll do some debating. I was always quite a good affirmative speaker, first speaker, so get into it, get the rebuttal sorted, and good.
How's the any views over there, mate? You've been awfully quiet.
How's who won the Melbourne Cup, mate?
I did see that Vow and Declare won the Melbourne Cup, ridden by Craig Williams. But I'm not going to add too much more. They're all very good points you made there, and I've never been too critical. I don't put money on the horses, probably because I don't know enough about the races and which and horses are doing well. And yeah, because I'm tight. I feel like I need to be an expert on it to put my money on it. But
the share industry, is it? Has no. More knowledgeable there.
Not much.
Yeah, very fair. All right, boys. Because we don't like serious talk too much, I knew we were going to get onto that topic tonight, Skinner, which is why also we prepared a song.
Perfect.
Which we are going to show people now. And the song is obviously just pretty much, Mitch, about you being vegan, which I feel like fits quite well here. Obviously, duo, sung by both of us because some parts are your lines and then some parts are my lines. It's actually a parody. Well, I only thought that Hamish and Eddie had written a song called We're Too Good at Hellos, but it turns out that was actually a parody of Sam Smith's song We're Too Good at Goodbyes.
Yep.
So we've written a parody of a parody. Which is originally Sam Smith's song, and it goes like this.
You must think that I'm foolish. You must think I eat boring food.
It's kind of true.
You might think I can eat some fish.
I know.
But I'm vegan, so that won't do. I'm never gonna eat that piece of meat. I really don't think it's great for me. No, I've got no interest in breadfast. I know I need iron, great, thank you.
Mitch, what about protein? You need that too. And how are you possibly gonna eat dessert?
When I'm at a bakery, there's still things to try. I find iron and protein, it's easy to come by. And when I'm cooking dinner, I use some legumes. I'm going to be vegan, I don't care what you do.
Mitch just can't eat a meat pie, Skinner, just give it a try. Mitch just can't eat a meat pie.
Those vegan myths are all lies. I don't mind eating nuts and seeds. I still eat oats, I like them rolled. And I'll cook up some crackin' feeds. Almond milk's nice when it is cold. I really quite like this lettuce leaf. And eating vegan food doesn't make me weak. These smoothies will really quench your thirst. I'll eat Buddha bowls, they're good for you. I like my vegan cheese and fried tofu. My plant-based diet all comes from the dirt.
When I'm at a bakery, there's still things to try. I find iron and protein, it's easy to come by. And when I'm cooking dinner, I use some legumes. I'm going to be vegan, I don't care what you do. Mitch just can't eat a meat pie, Skinner, just give it a try. Mitch just can't eat a meat pie.
Those vegan myths are all lies.
He won't eat a chicken thigh.
I'll probably stick with pad thai.
Mitch just can't eat a meat pie.
And you can hold the ribeye.
Mitch just can't eat a meat pie.
No, 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 I know I won't leave.
Oh, no, I'm not telling you lies.
And I'm off the pork thighs.
He would probably hate a bri.
Please put those steaks on standby.
And kick the chickpeas nearby.
Because it's all demand and supply. Jeez, I've cooked that lethal.
Won't find him in a pigsty.
Those pork fillets I won't buy.
More spinach than that Popeye.
All right, welcome back, guys. We're with you after a serious rendition of that song, Skinnold. It is called Mitch Just Can't Eat a Meat Pie. And if you missed, if you're obviously just tuning in now, I'm not sure how you would be, but you probably want to go back in and get some context for why that is. But essentially, in summary, Mitch is a vegan. So,
yep, thanks.
That's all you need to know. Guys, something else got brought to my attention. We've had some great write-ins this week. This one from Kent Sendy, and it was a picture of sort of, I guess, well, just a reminder me of sort of the reason why I loved playing cricket so much in Adelaide. This was from Pulteney Old Scholars Cricket Club and just had a picture of the tee that they get to tuck into, obviously, at the tea break. Oh, boys, I'm just going to show you that now so you can have a look at that. That is magnificent. Honestly, Queensland Premier Cricket, this is where we're getting it wrong. Why is there none of this? Get that back. So if you do want to, you know, just make us really jealous, because obviously we're all playing in Queensland, send us through some of those great southern state tees that you get access to. You're obviously probably in a slightly more fortunate position because you're actually quite good at cricket. So you get to obviously do get fed when you go to play some of these games. So what are some of the best tees you've had?
Yeah, I think it's in terms of Australian domestic cricket, the grounds where you want to play at, which I'm actually missing in this Shield round, is down in Victoria at the MCG. Yeah, the chef there does an awesome job. It's an unbelievable spread of food. They're probably the least healthy as well, but as players, you're pretty happy when a less healthy option comes around. Pretty strict, the dietitians these days. But I do need to mention, when I played a season over in England in Kent, club cricket, that was next level.
That's proper.
Yeah, the wives and girlfriends did an amazing job, and family members bringing in platters for the players during a day's play, and the tees there. I played for Bexley Cricket Club, and at Bexley, it was unbelievable. Just thinking about it now makes me want to go back and play another season next year.
Exactly. Honestly, like, you'd love playing for that. Like, when we were playing at West Tyrants in Adelaide, you know, that triple premiership. So we would literally have just some of the greatest tees ever. And the most depressing thing was when you're obviously long days in the dirt, and just fielding for an entire day, and you'd come off at tea and I just still had to tuck in because there was too much good food. So then the last 2 hours of the day were quite tough.
Yes.
Our footwork was a bit slow behind the stumps, which keep it there.
It's sluggish. Give us the story of the weekend that I was down there. Who was it that was just running amok at the tea with the chalky strawberries?
Oh, Nicholas Benton. Nick Benton from Port Adelaide, one of the funniest people that you ever meet. And a few people can back that up. This obviously was a former. Did you play against
him? Yeah, good bowler.
Yeah, nice bowler. Like big redhead, serious moustache. We'd be killing it at the moment in November. Yeah. But he would eat. We had sort of these chalk coated strawberries, and he was just biting the chocolate part and leaving the half on the plate.
Not putting it in the bin.
Not eating the whole thing. Just munched through the chocolate part and put the rest back. He was wreaking havoc, that's for sure. But yeah, very, very humorous man. Boys, let's go on to a little bit of NRL news here.
Lassoed by Talent. Look at Talent. Look at Talent. He drags him.
Haz, I guess I probably was going to direct this question at you because obviously you are usually the most knowledgeable when it comes to all things rugby league. So the David Fifita incident, obviously the Bali incident, seems I'm starting to think that obviously just NRL players and Bali don't mix by the looks of things. But this one seemed really, really strange to me because obviously he was sort of accused of assaulting a security guard. But then there was a photo taken 3 days later or whatever saying that he's been released from bail, and it was all just happy families. Like, they were all standing there together. There was one little bag, which I assume probably had like bulk cash in it. It was just the Broncos paying off the security guard to let him free. What is going on there?
Yeah, interesting what happened over there. So, yeah, reportedly punched a security guard outside a bar in Bali. I think the same bar that Nelson Asofa-Solomona got in trouble outside of.
It must be a stinker, this bar.
I wouldn't know. But
you've been to Bali, haven't you?
I have.
You only go for surfing.
Family holiday for surfing, but he was detained by local authorities. And the Broncos sent a lawyer over there who came out pretty quickly and said Fifita didn't remember the incident because it happened so quickly.
Or because he was blind?
Yeah, I think that was more the fact that he was trying to suggest that the fight happened so quickly he couldn't remember it.
Right, that always happens, I'm sure.
Anyway, the security guy came out and said that he could forgive Fifita, but he wants Fifita to pay the price and learn a lesson so that other foreigners would stop treating locals so poorly and thinking they can do whatever they want.
Well, that seems quite reasonable, really.
Yeah. Probably fair. And you expect that if you do something wrong. But yeah, then next minute Fifita's been released and without an obvious consequence to the public. And the security guard is happy with it, shaking his hand and actually said that he hadn't been paid any compensation. So I'm not sure if that's a bad look if he's actually said that.
I think the pay a price was in inverted commas actually meant physically give me money. Well, that's certainly how I interpreted it. And I think the Broncos have just sent over a lawyer with bulk cash.
Yeah.
That's probably a large accusation to throw out.
Yeah, that's massive. But that's all right.
That's all right.
Nothing wrong with stirring a bit of controversy.
Yeah, well, we've already done a bit of that.
Apparently, he's got a meeting with the NRL Integrity Unit when he gets back, and fair enough. And I think the Broncos CEO wants to have a word as well.
Okay. And he's like been in the news already for contract negotiations as well, hasn't he? So,
as a Broncos fan, if that drops his value a little bit, then I'm all for it.
Keep him. Exactly right. Actually, just speaking about some payment as well and some money, but this is probably a much more positive story. Now, the Matildas, obviously the Australian women's soccer team, they've actually secured an equal pay deal. Now, they also broke the record last week for the highest attendance that they've actually ever recorded in Australia at a women's national game, which was quite impressive. So, obviously, a very, very exciting deal, you would think, and probably something that's going to be a bit of a line in the sand for sort of other sports and a challenge and a mantle thrown down for other sports to try and keep up with as well, I would think.
Yeah, very impressive, and the news is a good advertisement for the sport and probably put pressure on other sports to do a similar thing. Cricket, the women in cricket are starting to get paid a lot more and not having to work other jobs if they don't need it in some cases, which is great.
Ash Barty had a massive payday last week as well. She killed it.
Tennis has always been the highest paid sport.
Yeah. Well, it did. Like, they've also, like, in, I mean, we say recent times, but probably like within the last 5 years, they also secured like that same probably level that the Matildas have now in the equal pay between female and male players, and that generated some huge debate at the time, obviously, because males are still playing best of five sets and females playing best of three sets. So that was a huge topic of discussion in itself. We won't tackle that one tonight, though.
Hopefully it's sustainable for those team sports to be able to do that and more people start watching female sport and supporting it. And so we'll wait and see what the result of that is.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to a cricket rap has.
Oh, that bowler's close. He's going to
Now, Haz, I saw something pretty impressive in the WBBL last night, or yesterday afternoon it was, and that was Sophie Devine, who I've always been quite a fan of because when I was coaching the women's team at West Torrens in Adelaide, Sophie Devine was actually here playing for the Strikers, and she played a club cricket for West Torrens. So I used to come in and bowl my left arm orthodoxes to her, which you've probably seen, quite damaging at times, 2 first-grade wickets. But she used to hit me everywhere, which was not the ideal feeling as the club coach. But she also hit someone yesterday quite a long distance where she hit the last 5 balls of the innings in a row for 6, which was monumental serious hitting. The first ball was a single, got Sophie on strike, and the next 5 went for 6.
I didn't get the opportunity to get the 6 sixes in a row, unfortunately. That's but right. It was actually another spinner. They finished up with an off spinner, right?
Yeah. But she's actually bowled well during the game. Well, yeah, she'd already taken 3 fast.
So. Interesting call, finishing with the offie bowling into the right arm as the right hand is arc.
Right in the arc.
That didn't work out too well.
No, and then she also followed that up with getting 2 for 19 as well, and then obviously 85 not out off 56. So that is quite the day out for Sophie, probably player of the match.
I'll probably check.
That's cool. We'll come back to that. Sheffield Shield. Guys, obviously quite an interesting sort of round because quite a few players are sort of without some of their key players as they play for the Australia A side and like a bit of a test shoot out there for those last couple of spots that probably people think are up for grabs against Pakistan at the moment, which Haz will go through in a second. But in the other Sheffield Shield games, there's obviously a green seamer in Adelaide because they put on, I think the first wicket fell today with the score on 293. So that was, 1 for 293. Henry Hunt was dismissed for 132. Jake Weatherald remains not out on 195 as South Australia are 1 for 359 at the end of day one.
Did have that in my minute to thin it later on, but I guess that'll make it easier for me to get through that.
Not to do. Apologies. Sorry.
But.
And then Steve Smith, obviously, is still playing at the SCG, but that finished the day at 2 for 221 with Steve Smith on 59 not out of 217 balls, which you wouldn't normally associate with a player of his calibre. So I'm not sure if that suggests that the wicket is difficult or if he's just happy to spend some time out there on the tools or what's going on there.
Yeah, slow day. I didn't get to see any, actually, but WA might have been quite boring with their lines and tried to be patient, and Steve Smith decided to be patient as well, but we'll wait and see how that game pans out.
Absolutely. Very, very fair. And then, Haz, what about that international men's game? I sort of probably briefly touched on it, but can you give us a bit more detail there?
Yeah, so Australia beating Pakistan by 7 wickets and then 10 wickets in the second and third T20. I don't think we've spoken about either of those yet. So Steve Smith hit 80 not out off 51 in the first, and then the openers, Dave Warner and Aaron Finch, did the job in the second without losing a wicket. So all the bowlers really doing their job pretty well throughout the series. Nothing really stood out too much more than others. Everyone did a good job, but worth mentioning Sean Abbott making his international return and getting really good figures of 2-for-14 off his four overs. Makes it 8 T20 wins in a row for the Aussies after probably being pretty poor in this format for the last few years and maybe dropping down the rankings a little bit.
Skinner, anything to add there? We've lost you a bit, but you did speak quite a bit at the start.
Yeah, no, I've hit my quota for the night. I'm tapering off.
Absolutely. Skinner, leading run scorer for Redlands in second grade, I read the other day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that.
Very impressive.
I mean, all unimpressive for our second grade team, though.
Scored 33 on the weekend in Miskin.
Top scorer of 60, and I'm the leading run scorer. But yeah, no, 33 on the weekend, wouldn't mind getting. Yeah.
Stats don't lie, you know.
And then, guys, we had a few obviously keen Instagram observers who wrote in just wanting to know about Matt Renshaw's innings on the weekend and the wagon wheel that he produced. Obviously, we interviewed him last week, which was great. But then probably not really well thought out was the fact that obviously we know that interviewing people is usually a good luck charm. And then we were playing against him sort of 2 days later. And sure enough, he got 210 against us at Turnbull as they set, I think they declared 9 down for 392. So it was a serious display of batting. The most annoying thing was we actually did get a mistake out of him early. Dropped it on 30, dropped him again on 48, and then from that point on, he was absolutely flawless, and he hit them everywhere. And Turnbull looks like it hasn't seen rain since the flood, and it's honestly the driest outfield I've ever seen, and just anything that got hit past you went for four. Yeah. It was crazy. There was ones or fours, that's it.
Yeah, it's a good place to bat. Mm. That Turnbull and Sandgate, I would think. I mean, yeah, two picks.
No reason why you can't chase that down next week, I reckon.
Well, that's true, Haz. I mean, again, like using that same theory, we actually finished 1-for-30, so we're nearly there.
Oh, yeah, you're pretty much there.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. So we'll get about there. But Renner's, is it a star-studded lineup, actually? Because obviously, Marnus and Jimmy came back and played for us. Renner's, Chris Lynn, Cam Boyce, all playing for Turnbull. El Drennan took 4 catches, which is a bit stiff not to get a highlights package, I thought. But
and you lost the toss.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, right.
One job.
I know, it was a real shame because I sort of realised that as the coin was in the air, I hadn't spent any time thinking about it, and then I just panicked, said heads, and it was never going to be a head. I just had a bad feeling.
If you had time to think about it, you would have really improved the 50-50 chance of getting it.
Exactly, yeah. Skin. I'm pleased that you agree there. Yeah. Matt Renshaw, Chris Lynn hit the biggest six I've seen. It was into the train. I'm sure he does that quite often. At one point, poor old Marnus got hit for 3 consecutive sixes from Renner's, and we know how much from the interview last week, we know how much those two lock each other on a cricket field. At one point, our fielder was trying to get the ball back that after the third six had been deposited over long on into the train station again. We had the umpires had a replacement ball out there, and Marnus was yelling out to the Turnbull players saying, "Can you please get our fielder back?" And Chris Lynn yelled back, "Matt, I think he's on the train." He's had enough field and he's gone. This is the next station, straight down to Nunda. It was not really that entertaining at the time, to be honest. It was quite a hot day and oceans there, but looking back, quite funny. It's been a successful segment. I've stolen some of your thunder here, but we're still going to set you up on the little minute to thin it. Are you ready?
Should be right. Yeah, get done easy.
All right, here we go.
Sonny Bill Williams has signed his $10 million 2-year contract with the Toronto Wolfpack in Super League. In NRL, Latrell Mitchell's future is unknown after his final year at the Roosters, with the Cowboys, Bulldogs, Tigers and more clubs showing interest, but most now saying they won't sign him before next season. Fiji beat PNG 22-20. New Zealand beat Great Britain 23-8, both in rugby league. Australia played their first Fed Cup final in 26 years in the tennis, where they lost to France, unfortunately. Jake Fraser-McGurk will become one of Victoria's youngest ever cricketers when he makes his Sheffield Shield debut on Tuesday against Queensland. New Zealand and England tie again in a T20 at Eden Park, with England again winning the Super Over in what was a T20 World Cup final replay. And Indian Deepak Chahar takes the best ever T20 international bowling figures of 6 for 7 against Bangladesh.
As you know, it's a hot deal is you actually did that with only 6 seconds to spare, so you've done quite well there.
Lucky I didn't have to mention the South Australian batters then.
Yeah, that's right. See, I did do a favour by cutting that out. That's exactly right. Now, Haz, you're actually going to lead this one for us, which I'm excited about, because this is one of the great, probably, you know, the segment that the show is most known for. Skins just pulled a very angry face there. He thinks Skins should be the one.
Oh, no, I'm just reading the social sin bin and amazed by some of the comments already.
Okay, fantastic. So, Haz, you've done plenty of research here. We look forward to you showcasing this.
Yeah, I had a look through social media this week, and first one worth mentioning is Steve Smith. After scoring 80 or 51 balls in that T20, there was a post put up about it, and Aaron commented, "He is not a T20 player."
Yeah, I saw that, actually. I think you said that to me straight away. 80 or 51, what's he going to do for you, Aaron?
Stick to test matches, Steve. You don't need him in the T20s.
Steve, man. You're 80, honestly. Get a move on. Oh, that's ludicrous.
Yeah. Did you watch that knockout?
Yeah, I saw a fair bit of it.
That's more
yeah.
The thing. It's just even the shots he were playing.
It was outrageous.
You cannot possibly say he's not a T20
ridiculous.
Player. Yeah. He hit the ball wherever he wanted.
Literally.
Yeah. Does a pretty good job of it in all formats, really. And then there was news of AFL talking about expanding to Tasmania, and Chris commented, "Now there's a comp that understands expansion. Meanwhile, the NRL hugs the Pacific coastline like a frightened kid hangs on to its mother."
Oh, yeah, I think the state of origin is in Adelaide and Perth in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I think they're trying to be smart, and they've got, you know, the NRL 9's comp in Perth coming up, and NRL being played there every year as well. And it's, I mean, not trying to get into an argument about which sport's better, but leagues played all over the world, so I'm
you,
not sure.
Literally every week you try and get in that argument, and you've never embraced AFL at all. We know where you stand.
Yeah, but that league is played all over the world, and they're always talking about expansion to WA and South Australia, where I think they've played both in the past, and it just didn't work out. So
there's
wait and see.
There's a team from New Zealand in the NRL.
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Moving on to an article on Australia's T20 dominance in the cricket of late, and asking if there's a weak link in the team. And Wiramu, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but he's a Kiwi, and commented, yep.
How do you know he's a Kiwi? Does he write that as well?
Yeah, it was further on in the comments there, but he commented, yep, the yellow sandpaper and the underarm bowl will always and forever be the weak link.
Jeez.
But then the comment thread goes on with him and another Aussie bloke arguing about who has the better rugby union and rugby league teams.
Jeez, they've covered all topics. Right. There. Get them on the podcast.
But funnily enough, they end up agreeing and seemingly becoming best friends as they realise they both love league and hate union. It's a happy ending.
That is a brilliant sequence of events.
Shucks, that needs to be a rom-com or something.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
We should get that up on our socials.
Was it? Piri Piri Wee Poo. No, Wiramu.
Wiramu.
Yeah, sorry. Close enough.
Thanks, Wiramu. And congratulations on your new budding friendship.
Sticking with cricket, article on Mitch Stark wearing a wristband in the T20 game saying, effort, a bit longer version of that, bowl fast. And then Andrew commented, mentally very soft.
Why?
I don't know. I guess in the past, when Mitch Stark first started his international career, Shane Warne was talking about how he was soft, and in test cricket he wasn't up to test cricket.
Shane Warne says it, that means it's gospel.
Maybe Andrew hasn't forgotten that.
No, obviously not. And what the heck. I just don't know if that's the article to comment that on, though. Like, it's
and that doesn't make him mentally weak if he wants to.
Because he wore a sweatband. This is a premeditated attack. So they can all have a spell in the social sin bin. Well done, Haz. Very, very good. All right, guys, moving on from skin stats. Nope, that was the social sin bin. delete that. Don't mind me. We are going to go to skin stats now, though, which is what I was trying to say. So here that is.
No way you just have to wait. He says stats don't come easy. Works real hard, a lot at stake.
Thanks, Lethal. And I feel like we should let people know that's the second time you've made a mayor of that introduction. Well, you've had another episode of forgetting to press the record button there.
Skittled, if this makes it to air, I'll be flat.
You're getting fired. Anyway, skin stats. So I'm back with another little analysis here, and I've had a bit of inspiration this week. Lethal, you've often come to me after you've hit a sixth in one of your innings, and you love to remind me that you've hit way more sixes than me. So I wanted to have a little bit of a look into that. I think it originated when I hit my first six in maybe under 10s or something.
Yeah, and I was squarely up.
Yeah, that's right.
Went over my head.
Yeah, correct.
It's not hard to hit them over your head, though, is it?
Oh, yes. Jeez.
Played as.
Very onside dominant, I thought. You know, build the wagon wheel, please.
Yeah, no fair. And you caught up a little bit later, got off the mark with your first six when you were maybe 19, 18. And then, yeah, you've admittedly been on a bit of a rampage since then, but I wanted to see if there was any truth to it. So I had a bit of a dive into my cricket and looked sort of as far back as it goes, to pretty much, which is admittedly not too far back. So it might not be the most thorough analysis ever. And I got Haz's stats in as well to have. I thought it'd be worth having a look at.
Oh, how good. Looking forward to this.
That'd be great.
So I'll tell you what.
600, is that right? 600 sixes?
No, not at all. Lethal with a massive 59 sixes throughout his entire career.
What?
Yeah, which is, I was surprised by that. I guess that's why I sort of started with the disclaimer that my cricket doesn't go too far back.
And how many games? Like, how many games is that 59 sixes from?
This can't be right. I hit 59 sixes last game.
Okay.
So I think I got out for two, actually.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, so that 59 sixes is admittedly a bit higher than my 49 throughout my career.
See, way more sixes.
So, yeah, I'll give you that. You've hit way more sixes than me. But I wanted to have a look into, because obviously, I mean, people might be surprised to learn after seeing my big bushy beard, but you've got a few years on me, Lethal, so I wanted to have a look into how many games you've played and how many sixes per game or per innings or even per ball face that we've been hitting. So over your career, just has to get you involved here. You've hit a whopping 223 sixes throughout your career.
Holy hell.
So you're well and truly leading the charge. No shocks.
I'm sure you'll catch me at some stage.
Yeah.
This must have included like Sheldon College cricket or something.
They didn't even play cricket at Sheldon College. I wish they did. They do now, but unfortunately not when I was there.
What is this, Haz? 223, that's cheap modes.
Yeah, so that's taking the piss. But I guess that reiterates our point earlier that Haz, you are actually quite good at cricket and we are not, but that's all right. So Lethal, you've in your lengthy career, you've played 317 games of cricket. That's including all formats and all clubs that I could possibly find any data on. So all your trips to England and Darwin and Adelaide and everything that I could find, you've played 317 games.
Should be a life member by the sounds.
Yeah, perfect. And Haz, you're a bit younger than Lethal, but I guess obviously with the benefits of being a professional cricketer, you've managed to pump through 426 games.
Yeah, a couple more games there.
Yeah. And I'm sitting down here at 265. And so what have I got in that time? I think, Haz, you're hitting a whopping 0.56 per match, which is...
Oh, you can round that up to 0.6, mate. If you look at the next number, it's 0.6.
That settles who's smarter.
I'm operating at 0.1849, and Lethal is slightly above me at 0.1861, which I thought was stiff, but... You count for number of innings and even number of not outs, and I'm up at 0.0252 sixes per innings, while Lethal's at a measly 0.2193. Unlucky.
Where are you reading this number? You've made that up, I reckon.
I think you'll find I've got an extensive Excel spreadsheet here, and I've just given you a small screenshot.
Damn it!
What about sixes per ball? Can you have you got a sixes per ball?
Hazzy, thank you for asking, my friend. So my cricket is very nice and gives us a strike rate for your entire season, although it doesn't tell you the balls faced, which is a mild inconvenience. I had to figure out how many balls you face by using your strike rate. And then I've sort of averaged that over your entire career, looked at how many runs you've hit. Oh, yeah, that might be a fun fact. Has you've hit 13,568 runs in your entire career. Just not bad.
Yeah, I'll take that.
That's right. Lethal, you're at 8,245. If you wanted to know, and I'm at 4,500. So I've worked out how many balls you face based on your strike rate, and sixes, what have I got, sixes per ball, or balls per six, I think I went with. Has you're hitting a six every 82 balls.
Yeah, I'll take that. Hopefully not in a T20. Hopefully I'm hitting a few more sixes. Yeah. Per ball in a T20.
Yeah, 82 balls, not in the six.
Don't let the Brisbane Heat get a hold of this.
Big bash teams out there. That's not T20. Yeah.
Ours is conveniently for sale in the IPL for
base price.
A few of those 426 games are probably 4 days and 2 days and a lot of under... It's where you might not have been hitting too many bombs. I don't know.
That was probably the glory days when I was hitting all my bombs. Probably glory 3/4 of those bombs were 110s.
Yeah, right. Got ya. Anyways, Lethal, you're hitting a six every 187.59 balls.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Very watchful.
So what do you reckon? You reckon that's a lot more than mine? Or what's your expectation here?
Oh, I'm going to say that the whole premise for you doing this segment would be that yours is less than...
I'm coming out on top. I'm hitting a six every 130 balls.
That's all right, guys. Steve Smith took 129 balls to hit his first boundary today, so you're not doing too badly there.
Right. Yeah, but he's not a T20 player, and we are.
He can't play T20.
Yeah, that's right. So, that's pretty impressive, to be fair. Yeah,
there you go. So you've hit more sixes than me, but I'm hitting them more often. Unlucky. Another little further point is that I can't say I bothered to delve too deep into my cricket before, but there's a lot of stuff on there. So I think we could be in for a few weeks looking into, what position you bat better in has and all sorts of things, how you're getting out. What's your main mode of dismissal, do you reckon?
We'll stick to the positives, I reckon.
Let's get people to let us know what they want to know.
Have some tips. Let's get some get some questions out of what we reckon my main mode of dismissal is, and people can
caught down the leg side.
Maybe for rhythm story.
Definitely. Competition.
Send in some stats requests for Skinald on what you want to know from our My Cricket Glory days.
Yeah. So we should be in for a good couple of weeks though on the skin stats.
All right.
I'll even have a look at the champion player points and stuff, I reckon. I found that interesting today. So we'll see what we come up with.
I think someone at this table actually won that award last year.
Yeah, no shocks. Mm.
Thank you. And we'll reveal that next week as well. guys, that is essentially all we have time for this week, in fact. Obviously, a massive episode. We've got through plenty of things, including some serious topics. Now, also a news song, which connects to the serious topic, which is about skin being a vegan, has brought plenty of quality again, has. And obviously, your finger seems to be on the mend. You've got the video camera hand off now, has. So... you're back.
Hopefully back on the field soon, yeah. Week or so, maybe.
Do you want to come play for the Tigers to get your eye back in?
I'd love to. I reckon that's on the cards next game.
Magnificent. Get yourself in the grippers. Perfect.
Maybe not.
Thanks, Dave. That's quality. And Skinald, some of your best. Now, guys, obviously, we really hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you did, feel free to get around it on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Give us a rating as well. That would be ideal. Obviously, we want people to sort of continue to liaise with us through social media. Skin, they've brought some great stuff to us this week. Where can people do that?
Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you could even check us out on YouTube. I don't know if you could... leave a comment or whatever you want there.
There's about to be actually a really good lyric video go up on YouTube actually for one of the songs we produced earlier, which will be fantastic. And guys, if you do have any requests or for skin stats or social simmins or any ideas, I guess, for the show, then we would urge you to send an email through to hello@wegotthechocolates.com.au. That would be fantastic. And we obviously will be interviewing someone throughout this week, and we look forward to showing you that interview later in the week. So keep your ears out for that one, and have a fantastic week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.